Begin the current daf Masech the Sanhedrin daf Pei Dalet. Begin on the bottom of Pei Gimel Beis, second line up from the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues explaining the second half of a brisa that was quoted on the previous daf. The brisa which the Gemara had explained on the previous daf was Ve'elu Shechayev Memisa, regarding those that are liable for Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now the brisa says, Aval, however, the following are only Ba'azhara, they're only with a violation, a prohibition, but not with a Chiyev Misa. And they are aval oral, but regarding someone that's uncircumcised, or oinin, or has a close relative that passed away that day, or yeshiv, or is sitting and doing that vayda, which these halachas all are pertaining to primarily to the areas of things that apply to kahanim, where in this context is regarding doing that vayda in the Beis HaMikdash, that here it's not going to be chiv misa b'dei shemayim, rather it's going to be ba'azhara regarding a violation or warning. So it explains the Gemara now these halachas. Arul minol, what do we know regarding an uncircumcised kain if he does the avodah that it's only basar? So Amrav Chizdi says, Davazem mitaris Moshe Rabbeinu lo ilaman. This we did not learn from the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu has taught us. At Shaboy Yechezkel ben Buzi v'leman, until one of the Nevim Yechezkel came and he taught us, as it says in Sefer Yechezkel, it says, Kol ben Necher, any foreign son, meaning any kain that's a mumer lavoyitz kechavim, that is flawed in the area of idol worship, which he is, as the pasuk says, orelev, that he has an arelus, he has a blemish in his heart, which is that he's foreign in his actions to his Father in heaven. And that's one type. And then as we continue on top of Pedal Med Aleph, continues the pasuk, v'orel baser, so to being uncircumcised of the flesh, which is not orelev, which is uncircumcised in the heart, that's someone who does not want to be close to Hashem. This person wants to, but it's that his brothers died because of circumcision, which halacha does not allow him to do circumcision because he might die too. But ultimately, he still has his uncircumcised flesh. Says the pasuk lo yovei al mikdashi, these two types of people should not come to my sanctuary and do the avodah, which is an hazara, a warning, medivri kabbalah, from the words of the prophets, and therefore there's not going to be lashes. But however, it's as most as an hazara, but definitely not a chiv misa b'dei shemayim. Continues the Gemara, Oinim and Olam. What do we know if a Kohen does the Avodah as an Oinon, which is when his relative died that day, that he is violating an Asara? Still, like it says, Pasuk in Vayikra. It says, in Vayikra Chafal of Yud Beis, it says, regarding the Kohen Gadol, in the Mikdash Liyetze, when his close relative passed away, he should not leave the base of Mikdash, or from his sanctity. V'leichalas Mikdash Alikav, and not to desecrate the Mikdash of his God. In other words, even though his father and mother passed away, he does not have to leave the Beis HaMikdash, because if he does the Avodah, he's not being Mechal of Mikdash HaLikav. Now the Dik, the inference is, ha, but a Kayin Acher, Shalayotza, but of a different Kayin, that's not the Kayin Gadol, a regular Kayin Hedyot. If he would be an Oinin and would not leave, then Chilul, he would desecrate the Avodah. So you see that there is an Asar, there's a violation that's being done over here. But we don't see anywhere that he gets a Chiyav Misa B'dei Shemayim. Now that has to Gemara, but Amalei Ravad L'Rava, he says, V'nelev chilul chilul mitruma, we shlo nigzer shava. We here we show that the context of chilul applies to a kain hedyot that's an oin does the avodah, from truma, which also says chilul, desecration. Malahalim b'misa, just like over there, regarding a kain that's tamei, that partakes of truma, that's tahari, gets misa b'dei shemayim, as we established in the previous daf. Afkam b'misa, here also, it should be chim misa b'dei shemayim. Why are we saying that there's only an asara? That answers Rava, Mik Sivbe, does it say by the Kohen Hedyot Begufe, in the context of the Kohen Hedyot himself, the terminology of Chilul? Doesn't say in the parasha of Kohen Hedyot that is Chilul. It's Mechlala, it's from the inference of the Kohen Gadol, which the Torah writes regarding him being an Einan. That if he does the Avodah, it's not going to be Mechal. That's where Ka'asi, that's where we learn out. But if he's a Kohen Hedyot and he does do the Avodah, then there would be a desecration. But Habadava Habam Nechlal, that's only something that's learned out of inference. Anything that's learned out from inferential ain't done in Eisav Gzeir Shavah, then you can't go ahead and learn Gzeir Shavah from another context which says the same word. It doesn't say Chilul B'Kohen Hedyot. If it would say in the context itself, then you learn Gzeir Shavah from Truma. Here it's only inferentially derived from Kohen Hedyot that there's not Chil, that there is Chil, that doesn't say it ultimately by Kohen Hedyot to learn Gzeir Shavah from Truma, and therefore we don't see that it has a Chiv Misa B'Dei Shemayim, but rather, like the Brisa says, only an Azhar. Says the Gemara Yoshim in Olam, where do we know that if a kohen sitting and doing that vayda, that it's also a violation? Amarav Amrav Nachman, because Amakra the pasuk says in Devarim, Ki voy barcha Hashem alikecha mikol shvatecha, because from in him, meaning the Kahanim, Shevet Levi, Hashem your God has chosen from all the tribes, Lamid Lasharis, to stand to serve, which tells us, Lamid Abacharitav, I have chosen him to stand, Veloy Lishiva, not to sit. And since for sitting he has not been chosen, so in that element, he's like a zar, like a non-kohen. Now, actually, the second paragraph of Masechta Zevachim, Daf Chaf Gimel Beis, actually asks it as a question. If sitting and doing the avodah is like a zar, which it will desecrate the avodah, so then why don't we say that he'll get Misa B'dei Shemaim like a zar? Why did we learn the Braisa that it's only Asara and not Misa? So the Gemara there answers, because there's the halacha of zar and not having washed hands and feet and having drunk wine, and then doing the avodi, where three psukim saying the same idea that there's going to be misa b'dei shemayim. So when you have shleish k'suma bom ke'echad e'im alam, you can't learn out from there. And therefore, although we do see that he's going to have azhara, this individual who is sitting and doing the avodi, that's going to be only for the halacha of azhara, but not to learn the misa b'dei shemayim. You can't learn out from those contexts, because if it should have said only once, why say three times? To say that only has to say by it misa b'dei shemayim. If it doesn't say, you can't learn out from those that do, and therefore it's only an azhara. Now, the Braisa continued and said, Balmum, regarding a coin that has a blemish, which is not allowed to do the avodah, if he does, Rebbe Emi ben Misa, he says that he gets Misa b'dei Shemayim. V'chachamayim basar, the sages say that he only gets a negative warning, a violation. So it explains the Gemara, my time with Rebbe, what's the reason of Rebbe that there's Misa b'dei Shemayim? So the Chassid, because the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, it says, Ach ala pareches lo yaveh, however, to the pareches, to the curtain, he should not come, begoymer, etc. The Pasuk says, he should not go because he has a blemish in him. And he should not desecrate my base of Mikdash. So it says regarding a Balmum doing the Avodah terminology of Chil. The Yol of Chil, Chil and Truma, we learn now that Gzer Shava from Truma, which when a Kohen Tummy eats Truma that's Tahar, it says also over there Chil. Malahal and Bemisa, just like over there, as we established in the previous step, that there's Misa B'dei Shemayim, Avkan Bemisa, and also there's Misa B'dei Shemayim. That's the reasoning for Rabbi. And that has the Gemara of Vanel of Chil Chilu Menaisa, which links Zer Shava from a different context that says Chil, from that of Naiser, from the meat of a carbon which was left over from the amount of time it's allowed to be eaten, where Malahal Makar, just like over there, if someone partakes from that Naiser, is going to get Karas, which is different than Misa B'dei Shemayim. Of Kamakaras, here also should be Karas. How do we know it's a Misa B'dei Shemayim? Says the Gemara, Mistab and Mitruma have a little mail, but more logical that since we could learn out from either one that say Chil, that we would learn it out from a Kain Tummy that's partaking of Truma. Why? Because Shekain Psul HaGuf Mi Psul HaGuf would be learning out someone who's sitting and someone that's a Balmum and doing that Avodah, which is something wrong with his body, from a different context that's wrong with the body, which is a Kohen that's tummy and his body who's partaking of Truma. In contrast to Naisa, where it's not the person, but rather the object. Says the Gemara, no, Adrabah, to the contrary. Mi Naisa have a little mayav. Actually, you should learn that from Naisir, because actually there's more commonalities by Naisir that it has to Balmum than it has from the halacha, from the other halacha of Tumma, from Truma. Because Shekin Kodesh, they're both Neisser and Balmum are things that relate to Kachim, Panim that are inside the Beis HaMikdash, and Pigul Neisser that they pertain to them, things that could be Pigul and Neisser, things that are related to Kachim types of things. So to the contrary, we should learn from Neisser and not from Truma. So El Rav, the Gemara says that you're right, that the halacha of a balmum that does the avodah, mitamei sheshimish gam, we actually learn from somewhere else, we learn from a tamei that does the avodah. Whereas we established in the previous daf that there is misa b'dei shemayim, and therefore we extend that to a balmum that does the avodah. Because psula guf mi psula guf, here you have the commonality, both of them are something wrong with the body. One is that his body is tamei, one is that his body has a blemish. And kodesh pnim bigal b'naisa, and there it also has whatever nicer has, it has that there are things with kachim inside the Beis HaMikdash, pigal naisa, and you learn that mekodesh pigal naisa, which is also the same idea. A tummy that's doing the avoda is something that's kachim related, it's inside the Beis HaMikdash, and it's something regarding things like karbanas, which have the context of pigal and naisa. So that's how we know the halacha, according to Rabbi, of balmum shashimish, that he has a chiv misa b'dei shemayim from tummy shashimish. Says the Gemara of Rabbanim, but according to Rabbanim that said there's no Misa B'dei Shemayim, it's only a Nasara. They say, Amakra, the Pasuk says, in Vayikra, and this is regarding the halacha of when he partakes of Truma, that there's Misa B'dei Shemayim, which actually the context of where we know all the other halachas that they learned out from Truma, it says over there in the Pasuk, Bay. Bay is in this, which is an exclusionary term. V'loi b'balmum, but not regarding Balmum, who does the Avodah. Now, as Rashi explains, it's logical to say that when it's excluding something regarding a liability of a Kayin, which is that context, talking about Kayin Tomei that's eating Truma, that there is Misa B'dei Shemayim, excluding something else, that it would be excluding a Balmum who's doing the Avoida and not, let's say, regarding a Tomei that's doing the Avoida or a Tful Yom that's doing the Avoida, as we said in the previous staff, that they are learned out from Truma that gets Chiv Misav Deishamayim, because those, at least, of Tomei and Tful Yom are Psulim of Tuma, like the Alocha of a Tomei Kain that's eating Truma, which, they're going to get Misav Deishamayim. In contrast, a Balmum, which is something different, not Tuma, that's what's being excluded, and therefore they say that, no, you're not going to learn it out from Tomei Shishimish, and rather it's only going to have an Asara. The Baraita continued and said, "Hezid b'me'ila." Someone was deliberate regarding partaking of kadshim, which has halachas of me'ila, misappropriation, which is forbidden. Rabbi Yemi b'misa, if someone does it, he gets misa b'deshamayim. But Chachamim b'azor, they say that only gets a violation. Says the Gemara, "My time of the Rabbi, what's the reason, Rabbi, that is misa b'deshamayim?" Amar Bavo, he says, "Gamar chet chet mitruma." He learns out exer shava of chet from truma, where by me'ila it says v'chata b'shkog, he has sinned by mistake. Says the word chet, and it says. And then it says over here by Truma, v'liyisul of chet v'mesu. So mal alam b'misa, just like over there where it says chet by Truma, there's misa b'dei shemayim. Avkan b'misa, also over here by Me'ilo, it also says chet, it's going to be misa b'dei shemayim. Whereas Rabbana Amri, they say similar to like they said before, amakrabai, though, the pasuk says over there by Truma, which is by v'loy b'me'ilo, in it and not regarding Me'ilo, and however, although we're going to be excluding Me'ila, we're only going to be excluding it from the Misa B'dei Shemayim part. Because it's regarding the context of Misa where the Pasuk says B'ai, in it, excluding something else. But the Azhara, the violation, that is learnt out regarding someone who deliberately does Me'ila from the Gezeh Shava of Chet Chet from Truma, so we know that there's Azhara, but the Misa B'dei Shemayim part is being excluded from the Pasuk of B'ai, which tells you only by Truma there's going to be Misa B'dei Shemayim, but not by Me'ila. Now the Gemara continues explain the halacha of our Mishnah that said Zar Shashimish b'Mikdash regarding a non-Kayan who does the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. We had a machlekes in the Mishnah if it's going to be Misa B'dei Shemayim or it's going to be Chenek. Is it going to be killed through strangulation? So Tanya Lin, the Braisa, elaborates on this machlekes. Rabbi Shmuel Lehmi, he says, Nemar Kan, it says over here in the Pasuk B'Midbar, V'Hazar HaKarav Yumas, the non-Kayan who comes close to do the Avod will surely die. V'Nem Lahalon, it says over there in the Pasuk B'Midbar, whoever comes close to the Mishkan of Hashem to do the Avodah and he's not supposed to, he's not a Kohen, he will surely die. Just to go over there, which that was the context of the 250 men of the Edav Korach, who they were bringing in the Ketores, and they got killed through the hands of heaven, they got burnt. As it says in the Midbar Yadzayin, they were killed B'dei Shemayim through the hands of heaven. Avkam B'dei Shemayim here also is going to be at the hands of heaven. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says, no, Nemar Kan Bazar Kav Yumas. Here the Pasuk says regarding the Zar Shashimish in the Beis HaMikdash that he will be Yumas, he will surely die. Now, Nemar Lahalon says over there in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, V'anavi Ahu, and that prophet, Oicholim HaChalim Ahu, or the one who has that dream, who is going to say something which is not according to the Torah, Yumas, he will die. Now, Ma Lahalon Beskila, just like over there, the punishment is for that Navi or that Choylem is by being stoned. Avkam Beskila Hirosa, where it says Yumas, it's going to be actually by being stoned, not Misa B'dei Shemayim. A third opinion, Rabbi Yechim ben Nuriyam, he says, Malahal Mechenek, no, just like over there, actually by the prophet that is Madich the Rabban to do Avodah Zarah, he gets Chenek, which I'm just going to explain later on what is their disagreement. It seems like they're both learning out from the Navi Sheker, and but Rabbi Kiva is saying it's with Skila, and Rabbi Yechim ben Nuriyam is saying it's with Chenek. So Avkam Mechenek here also, where it says Yumas, is going to be with Chenek. So there are three different opinions, Rabbi Shmuel, who says Misa B'dei Shemayim, Kiva says Skila, and Yechim ben Nuriyam, who says Chenek. So he explains the Gemara first, the first Machlokes. But my Kamevach, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, regarding what do they disagree? It says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Sava, done in Yumas B'Yumas. Kiva says, we'd rather learn out the Gzeres Shava from the Navi Sheker, where both of them say the same exact word of Yumas. They ain't done in Yumas B'Yum Mois. But in contrast, to learn from the Pasuk Rabbi Shmuel, from the 250 of Adas Kairach, it doesn't say Yumas. There it says Yomais. So that's a different word, and therefore he'd rather not learn from that, and rather it's going to be Skila. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel Savi, he says, no, Dun Hedyid Mehedyid. We'd rather learn out commoners from commoners, which is a Zar who's doing the Avodah from those people of Kairach who are also commoners, and to compare the two, where there was Misa B'dei Shemayim, so to here, Vein Dun Hedyid Menavi. And rather, we're not going to learn a common man from the punishment of a Navi. Maybe a Navi gets Skila, but not a common man, and therefore he'd rather learn from the Das Karech, which got Misa B'dei Shemayim. But Rabbi Kiva, he would tell you that no, Kimin Shadiach, once the prophet is trying to push people to do Avodah Zarah, Ein Locha Hedyid Gadol Mazed, there's no greater commoner attribute than that, he doesn't have a great status of a great person, of a Navi, to say he gets a greater punishment. He's a lowlife. He's someone that's trying to push people to obey the Zara. That definitely makes him not greater than a Hedyot. So we could learn out a Hedyot from there. And just like over there, it's Skila, so over here, it's Skila. So that's their Machlikis. Now, but my Kimifki Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Echin Manuri, but what's regarding with the last two opinions? How does Rabbi Kiva disagree with Rabbi Echin Manuri? They both seem to be learning out Gzeira Shava, Yumas from the Navi Sheker. So why does Rabbi Echin Manuri end up coming out that it's Chenek and Rabbi Kiva comes out that it's Skila? Says the Gemara, but Plukta Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. They're disagreeing the Machlekes Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan, which is brought in Eilu HaNachnachin, where the reasonings are learned out from Sukkim. To sound like Linda Brysa, that this is a Machlekes, Navi Shadiach, where they want to learn out from the Zar Shashimish. The prophet that was pushing people to do it by the Zara, says the Tanakamo is Beskila. And Rabbi Shimon says it's with Chenek. So that's the Machlikas, Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Yechanur learns that it's Chenek. So then you compare here, it's also Chenek. Rabbi Kiva learns like a Tanakamo over there, that's Skila. So here also it's going to be Skila. And that is the Gemara. How can you say that? But we learned now Mishnah regarding a Zara Shashimish. That Rabbi Kiva Eimer Bechenek. Rabbi Kiva says that he gets Chenek. And yet in the Braisa, it says clearly Rabbi Kiva says it's going to be with Skila. Says the Gemara, Trei Tanoim, believe Rabbi Kiva, there's actually two Tanoim according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, meaning they disagree with what Rabbi Kiva said. Masnit in our Mishnah, which says like Rabbi Yechman Nuri seemingly that it's Chenek, is Rabbi Shimon. As we said, Rabbi Yechman Nuri holds like Rabbi Shimon. That Rabbi Shimon says that a Navi Shehediach is Chenek, and the Zar Shashimish that we learn off from there, that's Rabbi Shimon, who was a student of Rabbi Kiva, who he's saying, Valibid Rabbi Kiva, he says Rabbi Kiva held that a Zar Shashimish gets Chenek because we learned that from a Navi Shadiach, which is Chenek. Whereas the Braisa that was quoting Rabbi Kiva saying it's Skila was the Rabbana who disagree, it's the colleagues who disagree with Rabbi Shimon. And they were also students of Rabbi Kiva, and they were also going Valibid Rabbi Kiva, and they said in his name that it's going to be Skila by both of them. Where they say that Navi Shadiach is Skila, and therefore you learn that Zar Shashimish is going to be Skila from there. And that's why we have these two different opinions. Rabbi Kiva, is it Chenek, as we say in our Mishnah of Rabbi Kiva, or is it Skila, as we have Rabbi Kiva in the Braisa? Hanulach, Elohen Nasraf, and we shall return to you the 9th parak of Masechta Sanhedrin, parak Elohen Nasraf. And with that, we continue Tamid Beis. We begin the 10th parak, Masechta Sanhedrin, parak Elohen Nachnakin, which continues on the theme of the previous parakim, which is told by the Arba Mises Besdin. Now we're going on to the last one of those who are killed for strangulation. And Elohen Nachnakin are Hamaki of the Ima, if someone hits his father and his mother, Begundiv Nefesh Meisrael, he kidnaps, he steals a soul of a Jewish person. Bezakar Mamri Api Besdin, and this is an elderly sage who rebels against the word of the court. Similar like we find Mamrim Hayisim and Hashem, it's that he refuses to acquiesce to the ruling of the Bezn HaGadol, which in the Lishkas HaGadol is the greatest Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash. V'navi HaShekher, the false prophet. V'masnabi B'shem Avitz Kechavim, and he will prophesy the names of an idol. V'abal Esh, someone has relations with, has adultery with a married woman. And V'zemi Bas Koyin, it's regarding the witnesses who had said testimony regarding a Bas Koyin that she was Mezana, and then they were proven to have been Edom Zayman, that how could they have said that they were with some other people at that same time that they claimed to have witnessed this Bas Koyin being Mezana? Now, although that they had attempted to make that girl, that woman, liable for the Misa of Sreifa, which is the death penalty for a Bas Koyin that's Mezana, and generally Edom Zayman get that same death penalty. However, as our Mishnah is telling us, that they don't get judged with that death penalty. Rather, get judged according to the death penalty that they were trying to make for the man that had Znus with this married Bas Koyin, which that man actually gets chenek, like any man who has relations with a married woman, because as the Pasuk says regarding the Bas Koyin, he tisarv, she gets the Misav Sreifa, the loy boyla, not the man who has relations with her. And the halacha regarding the Edom Zayman are learned out from the Pasuk, kasha zamim las la'achav, like they attempted to do to their brother, which tells you la'achav la'achaysi, like they attempted to do to the man and not to the woman, to the brother, not to the sister. And therefore, just like the Mishnah concludes, u'bayala, when the Bas Koyin is married, and then the man has relations with her, there actually that's the source of the previous halacha regarding Zayman Bas Koyin. He does not get Sreifa like she gets, rather he gets chenek like a regular Esh HaSesh, and therefore again the Edom Zayman, who what they tried to do to him, they get not what they tried to do to her. But however, if the Bas Koyin was actually engaged, then the Boyal actually would get Skila, because a Nair Marasa is more severe than the regular married woman, and therefore, although Sreifa is greater than Chenek, and the Bas Koyin gets that when she's married, but if she's engaged, the greatest punishment is Skila, and then she's not going to be any worse than the Bas Yisrael, that the man who has relations with her is going to get Skila. Now the Gemara asks, Maki of Ve'imay Menol, and explain the halacha of a Mishnah, how do we know the opening halacha that if someone hits his mother and or his father, that he gets the death penalty of Chenek? Because like, it says the pasuk in Shemais, it says, Maki of Ve'imay Mois Yumas. He who hits his father and his mother will surely die. Now, B'chol Misa Amur B'Teres Tam, anytime it says in the Torah unspecified death, Einei L'Chenek, it means the death penalty of Chenek, which is the lowest. I asked the Gemara, but Eima Adekot Le'Miktal, but maybe say that it's not just for hitting. Many times it says hitting in the Torah, it really means killing. So maybe that a person is only liable for the death penalty of Chenek only if he kills his parents, not if he just hits them. Answer the Gemara, Sogat Aitach, can you really entertain such a thing? Kotel Chad B'Sayit, if someone kills a random person, as we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Vav Mabez, it says, Elohein HaNarog, and these are those who get beheaded, they are Ritzeach, and they are in the Dachas. So if someone kills a regular person, he gets the higher death penalty of Sayif. Va'av b'chenek, and if someone kills his father, which is a greater travesty, he's going to get a lower death penalty about Chenek. So it's not an option. But that the Gemara asks, Hanich l'mando mechenekal, that's only good answer according to one who holds, as our Mishnah is going in that order, like the Rabbanan, that Chenek is a lighter death penalty than Sayif. So definitely father cannot be less than a regular person. Elamanda mechanic chamer, but according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that chenik is more severe, Michael, remember, what are you going to say over here? You could expound the pasuk by telling you that regarding the father, specifically when he kills him, that then he'll get the greater death penalty of chenik, not like when someone murders a regular person, which is lower according to that opinion of Saif. So the rather says the Gemara Medechsev. Actually, the source is from a pasuk in Shemais that says, Maki ish v'meis, if someone hits a man and he dies, which tells us from this pasuk that where there has to be death, the Torah mentions death specifically. It says if someone hits a person and he dies, then Mois Yumas, then he's going to surely die. So to exhibit, it says, the pasuk in Midbar says, Oy be'eva hiko biyada b'yamais. Or if with hatred he hits him with his hand and he dies, and then it has the following halacha. Now, Shema Minah, what we learn from these two psukim is, Kal hecha de'ika hako astam, whenever it just says hitting unspecified, La misu, that's not killing. Because if it needed killing, as we see in those other psukim over there, it says that umeis, it says vayomais. From the parents, when it says maka'ov vayimoi, and it doesn't say, and they die, and it says, even so, maishuma said he's going to die for what he had done, it means just hitting and not even killing. Now, parenthetically, once we introduced that pasuk, which just reflected to us that regarding other contexts, that hitting says that the person will die, that's when it means dying. But here where it just says hitting, it doesn't mean even dying. Now that pasuk we brought down, I had to say that if someone hits a person and he dies, that the person gets killed. I had to say another pasuk in Midbar, which seems to say the same thing, called Maki Nefesh, whoever hits a soul and he dies will surely be killed. Why did I have to repeat it? Because the Ikaz Rahman Maki Ish Mace, if it only said the pasuk in Shemais, if someone hits a man and he dies, Havamina Ish, I would have thought that only applies if he kills a man, Debar Mitzvah in, that he's someone that already reached the age of performing mitzvahs, then if you kill such a person, that's a great travesty, then the Ischaiv Misa. But cut in life, it kills a minor, then not. So Kasar Rahman, the Kamaki never shows it to a pasuk at the same midbar, whoever hits any soul, even a minor, he's going to be Chayiv Misa. Now, because Rachmana called Maki Nefesh, I had only written the pasuk in Midbar, if whoever hits a soul, Havimina Ful Nafal. I would have thought to say that even if it's what's known as a Nafal, which is a non-viable child, for example, even if he was born full term, but his head is like closed up, or he has two backs, which are certain types of people that cannot survive, or Afil Ben Shemayna, or we would have thought it would even include an 8-month-old child, which in Talmudic terminology always means to say a non-viable child, that then that would also be that if he kills such a child, he'd be Chayav Misa. Tzricha, that's why we need the other pasuk of Ish to tell you that no, it doesn't have to be an adult, as we see Nefesh, but it has to be a viable person to be Chayav Misa for them. Now the Gemara asks, going back to the halacha of Maki Av V'imai, but Ve'ema, but say that the liability for hitting father and mother is afagav de lo yavud bechabur, is even if you don't make a wound in them, that the blood comes to the surface, because all it says in the pasuk is hitting them. Allah mitzna'an, so why does the Mishnah say on the next daf, peheim abeis, hamaki avim, if someone hits his father and his mother, ein echai vachiyas ben chabur, the Mishnah says is not liable until he makes a wound. Where do we know that from? Says the Gemara, because Amakra, the pasuk says in Meyikra, maki adam umaki behema. In the same pasuk, it talks about hitting a person, hitting an animal. Now, ma maki behema, now just like by hitting an animal, Ad Ovid B'chabur, one's not liable for the damages until he inflicts a wound in it. Because the Chsib Be, because the Pasuk says, which recorded before, says, it's in Vayikra Chavdal Pasuk Yitches, it says, Umaki Nefesh Behema Yishalmena. And someone who hits the life of an animal will surely pay a life in the place of a life. It says there in the context of that parasha, Nefesh, soul. Now, the soul generally means the blood. Like the Pasuk says, Ke Adam Hu Ba Nefesh, which, what type of hitting the soul which is blood, that means to say a wound. That's what a wound is. A wound is when the blood comes out from the capillaries, from where it is, and it comes up to the surface, which teaches us that the liability of injuring an animal only when there's a chabura. So the pasuk is making the hekesh af maki adam, so too by hitting a person is ad avet chabura until you make a wound, and therefore we know the halacha of maki avimai in a person is only until he makes chabura. Now maskev le Yimri, however, Yimri asks on this halacha, on this limud, el me'at, but if that's the case, that you're saying that maki behem is only with chabur, and that's how you know maki adam, well then hikrisha, if someone weakens an animal ba'avanim, with stones, where he doesn't make a wound in it, but he weighs it down with stones, he injures the animal, but there's no wound. Hachinamid le'mechayv, you're going to say that such a person not going to be liable for the damages he did to that person's animal? Of course he would. So how can you say that where you're learning a maki adam from maki behemah, and maki behemah says nefesh, and it means we're only making chabura, but that's not a halacha. Damages even if you don't make a chabura. And rather says the Gemara a little differently. Im einoi inyan le nefesh behemah, which this is known as the limit of im einoi inyan. If this word of nefesh has no pertinence regarding injuring the soul of an animal, because like we said, it's even if you weaken it. Because even if you weaken with stones, there is a liability. So what does that word nefesh come to teach us? So if it doesn't have anything to do with an animal, then you'll put it to relevancy regarding the soul of a person, which is his father, that even though, yes, you don't have to kill him to be chayiv misa of chenek, but however there has to be at least a wound, which is what we're learning out from nefesh. So then the Gemara says, but if that's the case, that's where you're knowing it from, then el hakesha, then according to the Havamina that you thought regarding what the pasuk equates, maka adam to maka behema, one pasuk, so then lamali, what do I need that for? Since you're learning this halacha from Eino Inyan, so what is the comparison teaching us? So the Gemara, look at the time to be Chizkiya, like the Brisa, which was taught in the Yeshiva of Chizkiya, as is brought in Baba Kam and Hamanich, Tavalamahim and Aleph, which to exempt someone that commits a crime, where if he did it deliberately, he would be chayiv misa. But when he does it b'shagi, he's not chayiv misa. Now, generally, when he does it b'mezit, since he's chayiv misa, so he's exempt from payment, which is known as kimle b'drama, and that you can't be liable for both death penalty and monetary payment. Says the Tanda b'chizkiya, that it's even if he does it by mistake, when he's not going to be chayiv misa, but since it's a type of a violation that is a misa type violation, even there he's going to be exempt from monetary payment, even though he's not going to be executed. And the way we know that from, says Tanda b'chizkiya, is from that pasuk, where it compares Maki Behemah to Maki Adam. Just like Maki Behemah, there's never a differentiation that you always chayiv money. Maki Adam, even in the case that you're not going to be chayiv, that there's not going to be chayiv Misa, you're always not going to be chayiv Mamet. And that's what the Hekesh is coming to teach us. Now that is the Gemara, Han Nicha, well that's very well, because this is the Machlekes, Rabbi Yechad, Rish Lakish, and Rabbi Shim Ben Lakish in Ksubis, and the Lamadal and Beis, Laman de Isle Tan de Bechizke, according to one that agrees to that limit of Tan Bechizke. El Laman de Lesle Tan Bechizke, but according to one that does not learn that, that's correct, that actually if he does it, B'shagig, he is going to be Chayfetash Lomik, because he's not getting the death penalty, he's not Kimli Ramane, so Hekesh Lomali. So again, we're back to the question of what is the Hekesh of Maki Adam to Maki Behemah teaching us. Says the Gemara, it's coming to teach us, Ma maka behema l'refu, just like if someone injures an animal, gives it a wound, if he's doing it for healing purposes, for example, what's known as hakaza in Talmudic times, they would many times draw blood for healing purposes. Pater, so the doctor who does it, the veterinarian is exempt from payment because he didn't damage it. To the contrary, this is something he's doing to heal the animal. Af maka adam, it's coming to teach us so too if someone creates a wound in a person, meaning in his father, if he's doing it l'refu, if he's doing it for medicinal purposes, then Pater is going to be exempt from the death penalty, even though ultimately he's creating a wound in his father. That's what we learn now from the comparison of Maka Behemah. Like there you're exempt if it's l'refu, so to over here you'll be exempt if it's l'refu. As the Gemara says, because we actually had this question. Ben, ma'u shayak is dam la'ava. What's the halacha? A son's not allowed to create a wound in his father. Now what's if the son's a doctor and the father needs blood to be drawn, the father needs... Could a son go ahead and do hakazas dam on his father? So Rav Masna Amar, he says, the pasuk says, Va'aftal reyecha kamecha, you should love your friend as yourself, which comes to teach you that you're not forewarned from doing something that is negative to your friend, only something that you wouldn't want to do to yourself. Now, although generally a person would not want blood to be coming out of his body, but for medicinal purposes he would want, that is allowed to be done to someone else, including to the father, and there is no violation. Now, Rav Dimi Bar Chinnama, he learns that from a different source, which is what we're saying according to the one that does not agree to Tan B'chizkiya. It says in the pasuk Maki Adam Maki Behema, it compares the two halachas to teach you this halacha, Ma Maki Behema L'Refu Pater, just like when someone creates a wound in the animal. If it's for healing, he's going to be exempt. Af Maki Adam L'Refu Pater, also if someone hits a person, meaning his father, for healing purposes, he's going to be exempt. However, the Gemara tells us that Rav leishavik lebre lemishka leisilver. Rav did not let his son take out, if let's say a thorn got stuck in his skin, did not let his son take out the thorn. He did not allow his son to, if let's say he had a burn, he did not let his son to open it up to take out all the pus, all the moisture from there. Why? Why did these two fathers not let their sons do things which are furifuo? Because he might create a wound. And that's going to be violating, although unintentionally, but he might in the process create a wound, which is this biblical violation of Maka Avimai, and therefore he didn't let him even do something that the primary purpose was for healing purposes. Now, that as the Gemara, Yehache Acharnami, then what do you mean? If there's such a concern, then even someone else should not be allowed to take out a thorn from someone else or open up a burn to take out the pus, because every single Jewish person we're forewarned regarding doing a chavala, creating a wound in him, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chafei regarding giving lashes, says Lo Yosef, don't give more than 39. Pan Yosef, because maybe you're going to give more, and that's forbidden. So you're not allowed to do it in any person. So if you're concerned about maybe he might by mistake do it, so that should apply not just to a father but to any person. Says the Gemara, no Achar Shigis Lab regarding another random person. There, if he does it by mistake, where he's not intending to and he's going to do it, the most that he's doing is something that even if he did it deliberately would only be a negative prohibition, which is less severe, in contrast to Benoi, regarding someone's son, Shigas Chenek. Although he's doing it by mistake, but that's a mistake of a big Avera, not just of a negative prohibition, but as we said in our Mishnah, of a death penalty type of an Avera, of strangulation. That's more severe. Therefore, they were stringent regarding a regular person. Although that, yeah, it's a negative prohibition, but since you're not intending to, and if you do it by mistake, at most, it's a shigis lav. However, as the Gemara, but v'hadit not this, we learn in the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos that says machat shal yad, a needle of the a hand needle, which is a small needle, which is used to stitch up garments. It could be moved on Shabbos. It's not muktzah. Why? What is the utility of it? Isn't it only forbidden purposes like stitching, which you can't do in Shabbos? No, it says the Mishnah, litl ba'asakaitz, it could be used to take out a thorn from one's flesh with it on Shabbos. Now, it's just because the Mishnah there says later on Masechta Shabbos and Perkel Kalim regarding the types of needles that are used for sackcloth, which the reason why they're not muktzah is because they're so big and thick they could be used to open up doors. So therefore, it calls this small one a hand needle because the other one is larger. But be that as it may, the Mishnah says that one is allowed to go ahead and use it on Shabbos because it could be used to take out the thorn. So one sees from that Mishnah that ultimately one could use a needle to take out a thorn on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, but dil leichesh dil mechavel, not doing a wound in another person or a father, even the guy himself. Maybe he's going to go ahead and as he's taking out the thorn, he's going to make himself bleed. And he's going to be making chabura on Shabbos, vavile shigas skila, and that's, although unintentional, but it's a shagig of the most severe death penalty of that of skila, because doing malach on Shabbos, which one of them is creating a chabura, is a shigas skila. So you're saying, you know, take out your father's thorn because it's a shigas of cheneg, so how are you allowed to take out a thorn on Shabbos, which could be by mistake a shigas of skila? Says Gemara, hasim akalkal. There, if he's going to make himself bleed, is something that's destructive. Anything that's destructive on Shabbos regarding Chil Shabbos is pater, because the Torah tells you it has to be meleches machshava, it has to be deliberate, constructive, productive activity that's forbidden on Shabbos. Destructive is not even forbidden, so it's not even going to be shigis chata, it's not forbidden, it's going to be mekalkel. And that has the Gemara, hanichel mandam mekalkel pater, that's only very well according to the pin that says that doing destructive act on Shabbos is exempt. El mandam mechayev, but according to the one that holds that there is a liability, now as Rashi explains, the only one who says that you're liable for mekalkel is Reb Shimon. Now, moreover, where does he say mekalkel is chayiv? By the context that we're talking about, but regarding chabura, that's where he says that if you create a wound and it's going to be mekalkel, then you're chayiv. But even there, he says you're only going to be chayiv if that was in the intended purpose, that you needed that wound, you needed the blood to come out. But regarding someone that takes out a thorn, that the person does not need that chavala, and he doesn't willingly make a wound himself. However, in spite of that, based on the concept we're talking about before, that had it been with intention, then that would be a mazid of a skila. So therefore we should be concerned for shigiga skila. Michael Amemba, what are you going to say? How are you allowed to take out a thorn, as it seems that no one disagrees with that halacha on Shabbos? So says the Gemara, man shamatle, as we said before, who's the one that we learned, the Amar Mekalkel b'chabur chayv, who says that yes, you are liable for destructive act regarding a wound on Shabbos? That's Reb Shimoni. And as Gemara continues on top, Pehei Yaman Aleph, Reb Shimon Ha'ama, but then Reb Shimon says another halacha, Kam halacha she'netzricha legufa, any activity that's not required for the thing itself, patrola, you're exempt on it. Which, as the Gemara says in Shabbos of Tzadik Imam Beis, regarding someone that takes out a dead person on the bed, where Reb Shimon says that the person is going to be exempt for that malacha of Aitzah, because he doesn't willingly want or need that activity. In other words, like someone who's taking out a dead person, he doesn't need this Haitzah. He doesn't need the mess. He just wants to clear out the house. That's Haitzah, is not Tzarech Lagufa. What's considered Haitzah, that's Tzarech Lagufa, that you need the Haitzah, is, for example, let's say you need this object over there. You need that over there. That's Tzarech Lagufa. But taking out a dead person, you don't need it there, you just don't want it over here. That you're exempt, and therefore the same thing would apply over here regarding the dam she b'chabura, that even though you're saying, well, chayva makalkal b'chabura, but that's only if it's chabura. Here, you don't even need the blood. It's she'en etzrich l'gufa. It's not like we're saying dav she'en meskaven. That's something else. And it's not makalkal, it's okay. You can be chayva makalkal and then dav she'en meskaven. But we're talking about, it's in etzrich l'gufa. In etzrich l'gufa, you're exempt, and therefore there's no problem, even if you would make the bleeding, it still would be a melacha shen tzrich legufa, and anyways, it would only be chayv of a kalkal according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon himself says, melacha shen tzrich legufa, you patur la, and therefore there's no problem about taking out a thorn on Shabbos. Even if someone bleeds, there's no chil Shabbos of that would apply over here, according to either opinion, and therefore it's not comparable, let's say, to the concern about a son taking out the thorn from his father, where there, ultimately, you don't need a melacha tzrich legufa, you don't need, there's no hetera of kilkul. If someone does, it'll be a shigas chadnik, and therefore that was the concern that they had with their sons, not allowing them to take out the thorns from them when they had in their flesh.